Scripture didn't come with punctuation. The periods, commas, semicolons, quotation marks, and even spaces between the words did not appear in the original text. When people started writing down Jesus' words and stories, they wrote in Koine Greek, the language used throughout the Eastern Mediterranean. And in Koine Greek, marks of punctuation just didn't exist. Each word would flow into the next word. A page from the Gospel according to John was a jumble of letters that someone would need to figure out and interpret. And that's what an original reader of Scripture would do. When people gathered together to share a meal and hear these sacred words, a literate person would stand up and add the punctuation as they read. They would insert pauses caused by periods, inflections that pointed out commas, and might even throw in a Greek version of air quotes to show when someone was speaking. The punctuation we see in our versions of John is an attempt by a team of translators to make an ancient writing system sensible to us. Most of the time, the punctuation in our printed text makes sense. When a thought was finished, or the scene changed, or when certain words were used, the translators knew where to put the commas and the quotation marks. But sometimes they had to make their best guess. And in today's reading from John, I believe there's a semicolon in verse 3 that can blind us to the healing that Jesus actually brings. Jesus begins today's story walking. And then he sees a man born blind. Jesus isn't alone, so his disciples see this man too. Now, if you were walking with the Son of God, you might want to ask a question or two every once in a while. And that's what the disciples do here. They wonder why this man was born blind. But they qualify their answer. They don't ask about a disease or a medical condition or any of the countless diagnoses that we would point to today. Instead, they share an old, yet very current, idea that believes all physical maladies and sickness come from sin. The disciples wonder who did the wrong thing to deserve such a life. Now, with our understanding of science and medicine, we can sometimes push aside these kinds of questions when we see them in Scripture. But the disciples' question is a question that still shows up today. Rolf Jacobson, a professor at Luther Seminary in Minnesota, shared in a podcast I listened to this week that the disciples' question is a question people have asked him. When he was in high school, he suffered through cancer, and both of his legs were amputated. People have asked, what did he do to deserve what happened to him? It's a question he's even asked himself. The impulse to ask that kind of why and to search for an answer in morality or actions is completely normal. Many parents I know have asked the same questions because their child was born a certain way. It's difficult to accept that sometimes things are just the way they are. No one did anything wrong. It just was and is. And there's nothing in the past that could have changed the present. Jesus, listening to his disciples, responds in a very curious way. The disciples wanted to know who sinned. And Jesus said, none of them did. But this is where our punctuation problem comes in. Because that semicolon in verse 3 seems to imply that this man was born blind just for this moment. It's as if God let this man experience years and years of blindness so Jesus could stop by and help him see. That semicolon, if we read too quickly through it, can trip us up, narrowing God's mighty work to only this moment of physical healing. The argument that follows between him, his neighbors, his family, and the Pharisees stays rooted in this physical act. People can't believe he is who he is because he now can see. His parents, even after they affirm his identity, are afraid of what the community might say and do. And the Pharisees are divided because his healing was done on the wrong day. A semicolon in verse 3 helps everyone, including the reader, stay stuck in this kind of argument, as if God's work is only about physical healing. But if we turn that semicolon into a period, like the Common English Bible translation does, then the scope of the story changes. The disciples are trying to find out who did wrong, who broke or damaged their relationship with God to cause them to end up like this. But Jesus says, no. No one sinned. No one caused his blindness. His blindness just was. Yet his blindness doesn't change his status as a beloved child of God. Before the disciples said a word, before the blind man walked to the pool with mud and spit in his eye, Jesus already saw him. Jesus already affirmed that this blind man is worth God's notice. And when Jesus finally speaks, the man hears and listens. As it is written in the very next chapter of John, Jesus is the good shepherd and his sheep, his followers, those who know him and those who he already knows. They hear his voice. And when this man is later cast out of his community because people can no longer accept that he's changed, Jesus goes to find him. Jesus' relationship and love for this man doesn't begin when he's healed or when the disciples ask who sins or when the man finally worships him. Jesus' relationship with him is there at the beginning. God's mighty work in this story isn't the healing of the eyes. God's mighty work is affirming that even before this man could see, he was already being seen and is worth being known and loved by God. A period in verse 3 affirms something we know, but something we sometimes struggle to accept. That there are things and experiences and realities that just are. The gift of life means we don't always get to choose how our life will turn out. But through it all, and no matter how we start, God is there. Christ is present. Jesus sees you. And his love is for you, because there's no place, no hardship, no struggle, no illness, and no cross that God will not hold and love you through. Amen.